podcast friends, and welcome to another episode of the IT Coffee Break in Portugal. I'm Anastasia Ilisiva, your host, and join me in welcoming my two co-hosts for today with a wealth of experience in the tech industry and data practice. We have Denise Almochkin, data practice head, who relocated to Portugal, and Paula Carretiero, a data manager and our local expert. Hi, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hi, Nastya.
Hi, Anastasia.
I'm great. Thank you. Hi, Paulo.
Great. Hi, Dennis. Good to have you here, Anastasia.
Good to hear you too. And I'm pretty excited about data because data is everywhere right now. But before we move into that, I have a super quick this or that game for you. So let's start from the very beginning. I ask a question and you choose one option among the two.
Sure.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go. So, Dennis, tea or coffee?
Of course, tea.
Paolo, guacamole or salsa?
Guacamole.
Dennis, hockey or football?
Ice hockey, specifically.
Paolo, Python or Scala?
Oh, Python.
And Dennis, ChatGPT or Bard?
ChatGPT.
And with that, we are moving to data practice. Could you tell us a little bit about what data practice looks like in IPAM Portugal?
Okay. Data practice in IPAM Portugal is half native, half relocated, and it consists of extremely highly skilled professionals with many years in the background. I wasn't able to calculate average years in data for data pool in Portugal, but it definitely more than 10 or even 15, because people are working long time, even if they are new to data practice. We are relatively small as the location is very new. So we are 10 people, but the seniority of that group is very high. It's around 5 if calculated by the EPAM levels. So we are mostly delivery managers, but also a very strong group of architects and engineers of the lead level. So this is very in brief.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That's really interesting. And that sounds like a great practice, great data practice. So, Paula, from your perspective as a local, how would you describe IPAM Portugal's current focus and expertise in data?
I would say, again, like Dennis was mentioning, small group with a lot of experience. So IPAM brought to Portugal also the capabilities in cloud, which are very big in IPAM. So cloud in general, the adoption for cloud in Portugal, it's still starting. It's coming there. So there is a lot of room to grow in a sense. So I would say that we have an enormous room to shine here in Portugal and cement and leverage what IPAM data's capabilities are in terms of not just competence and know-how and expertise, but the cloud capabilities that Portuguese companies are starting to move to. So there's a lot of room to grow, I would say. And as you mentioned, data is everywhere. And one of the Gartner's roadmaps for 2023 statements is that business executives are really have high expectations in data and analytics. So there's a lot of space there to cement.
What exciting projects and tech stacks is the team currently involved in?
One of the project that I'm delivery manager right now. So we're working on a pharma area, and we are building a NLP search engine. It's really, really exciting project. It's a really hype right now. AI, ML, large language models like ChatGPT, and we expected for next year also to bring large language model to the product that we're building. So in a sense, we are leveraging knowledge and that client that it's in a structured way, so like documents, words, PDF, PPTs, whatever. And we are leveraging it to extract insights, to extract valuable information based on a standard natural search question posed by the end user.
Thanks so much for sharing that. It is definitely a very trendy topic. Good luck with your project. Sounds very, very impressive. And Dennis, anything to mention here, being a data practice head? Any other projects worth mentioning that you're really, really excited about?
Yeah, we have another one that also led by Portuguese data delivery manager. This is for European distribution company. For some mystical reason, it's also about search and extensive usage of LLMs and cloud. And speaking about cloud in general, as we see right now, literally no new projects are starting without that technology stack. So mostly for Portugal, this is Azure, but also we have both other mainstream cloud providers, Amazon and GCP. I do agree with Paulo that cloud and LLM is very influencing future technologies.
Taking into account what you've just mentioned, what skills and what qualities EPAM Portugal looks for in data engineers? And what kind of specific skills and technologies are in high demand?
You know, I would not be answering this question by listing technology stack, because my experience, at least for last 10, 12 years, says me that if you want to stick to mainstream, in 2 years, you will be having challenging times trying to join the other project or the other direction. That's why I'd say for Portuguese data practice, as well as for EPAM overall, I personally would prefer engineers to have most important skill of ability to learn new and to adapt to quickly changing environment. One of the most challenging tasks for me as a resource manager in the past and now was talking to experts who used to a specific tool, thinking that this is the ultimate tool, the silver bullet, able to solve anything. And in most cases, this was true. The tool was able to solve any existing task or challenge or business need. But if they, I mean professionals, would stick to that tool, suddenly in 5 years, they realize themselves into very niche projects and activities. I would not say nothing bad about support and maintenance, but the more you stick to the same technology, the less you're exposed to something that evolves right now, that is new, that is the future. And that's why do not stop learning, even if it is difficult. Do not stop being open to new technologies, to something that you haven't done yet yesterday. Try something new, literally daily. The dilemma of wide skill set versus specialized skill set, not a dilemma at all. You should have wide horizon of knowledge and expertise, but also you should be a specialist or expert in at least one or two technologies that are currently mainstream or very demanded. But if you would not have that horizon, you will not be able to grow new skills. You will not have the basement for this. So main skill is open-minded and the ability to learn new, I'd say that way.
And I would ask you here, what was something you learned yesterday and you're planning to learn today?
Nice catch. Taking into account that recently my activity were mostly in data delivery management, I'd say that on regular basis, I need to pick up technologies that are utilized by my team. Not all of them I had in my background as a hands-on experience in the past. That's why, for example, I still explore capabilities of Python and data processing with Python, specifically Databricks. but also taking into account all that new capabilities of LLM technologies and artificial intelligence, I'd say that you should at least be aware of capabilities. So at least using ChatGPT daily to skill up your ability to create prompts will add you your value and make you a bit safer in the future. I like the recent saying about if artificial intelligence intellect will take someone's job, and contrary to this, I agree with the saying that no, the someone who's skilled in AI will take your job, who has more exposure to that technology. So I'd say that deep dive into AI, deep dive into ChatGPT, into prompt creation. So it's like new Google. If you cannot build query to Google, and this was the same 5-10 years ago, you probably would not be able to find anything. Now you should skill up into AI and ChatGPT same.
I love that. Thank you so much. Really, I also feel that ChatGPT is like, you know, a personal assistant right now. So it helps you so much to save time and to automate some tasks. But you mentioned Databricks. What's that?
Databricks is the one of the most demanded technology for processing data right now. And it's essential for data engineers today to get interesting and demanded work on the project. So it's technology that, as you say, mainstream.
Denis, thank you so much for this perspective. And Paula, do you maybe have other ideas you expect from potential candidates?
You know, EPAM has a set of values that we learn as we onboard in the company. And I believe those values are mostly what I search in potential candidates. So like Dennis was saying, technologies you can learn as you learn by time, as you get more experience, the way that you start moving up skilling from technology to technology tends to be less from one to another. So technologies, I would say, can be taught, can be learned. Values is something that some of them, either you have it or you'll need a lot of time to acquire them. So candidates' values, like EPAM mentioned on their values, ability to value the person, value the individual, strive for excellency on a daily basis and focus on the customer, so to bring value to them, act as a team member and with integrity. That's mostly try to find in potential candidates, of course, and I would add the willingness to learn and the capability to be out of your comfort zone. It's also very important.
I guess both of you have quite a lot of interviews with our potential joiners, our potential e-palmers. And I would ask you here, do you have some kind of a question, your favorite question, you usually ask during an interview?
Yes. Between Dennis and I, we do a couple of interviews. We've done a lot so far. And just for joke, we kind of ask if the candidate takes lunch or no, because there is a divergency here between having lunch or not having lunch. So it's a cultural mindset. Portuguese people do like to have lunch and a break in the middle of the day to, let's say, reset, socialize, and forward with a second part of the day. And that's a joking question that we normally pose to break the ice to the candidates. But we tend to understand, again, how the candidate can adapt and adjust to the changes, to grow, to learn. And if he's a person that is able to speak up and share his ideas promptly. So we pose specific questions in a way, like testing, for instance, if someone has the knowledge of unit tests, for instance, and we are finding some candidates that they know, they feel that is important. But sometimes the people that are in the projects on where they are right now tend to bypass those. So we're finding some interesting ideas on the candidates, but sometimes they try to speak up, and EPAM allows you to do that. Reach out, speak up, say what you think can be improved, and EPAM will help you there.
Would you also say that AI knowledge and being a prompt engineer is also like a must be for data practice right now?
I would say very much so. Data scientists, in my opinion, and as I experience on the actual project that I'm working in, I would say that data scientists, which are mainly people that are driving AI, ML, and prompt engineering nowadays, this data scientist role and data engineering role are being one, as we say, as time goes by. So there's a fusion of these capabilities. So the need for the data to be usable in AI and ML, and the fact that predictive analysis, prompt engineering, large language model usability are more being one role. Data and AI are fully aligned. You know, internally also we are using already GPT in EPAM. So, and we are building products to the market like AI Dial. So I would say there is 100% alignment within EPAM for the future to prepare for data and AI.
Thank you so much for that. And a very tricky question I have. As you mentioned, data scientists and data engineers. So do tell me the difference, please.
Yeah, so standard data, a data engineer is someone that gets the data from the sources, prepares the data, and some normal normalization of the data, allowing others to consume it or somehow build dashboards as you know it. So this is a data engineer standard role. As we move forward with AI, and data scientists are people that use that data in a way to get insights from it and generate more information, valuable one. So this role of data engineer, ML engineering, and data scientists, I believe that in the near future will be data scientists who should have the capability to also work with the ingestion of the data and treat it.
That was a tough one. So, Denis, I also have a tough one for you. One of my favorite questions is, what's your favorite misconception about data that you would either like to debunk or, on the contrary, highlight that it is true?
Actually, I do not have one. Maybe we can take as an example the fact that someone thinks that, and this is true for any specialty, that data is unique, special, and not available for everybody. I mean, if you're not born to be data engineer or data scientist, you would not be able to understand that because it's a bit different and processing approach, like set-based versus iterative-based, like in other programming languages. I'd say that I personally saw maybe hundreds even of times when people were starting in data from the scratch and became extremely successful. As I said, this could be achieved if you're open to new, if you understand that each day you should learn something that you haven't learned yesterday. And in that sense, data is very available as a domain to start learning and practicing literally at any stage. So as soon as you have open-minded approach, you can start in data, excel in data, and become data-related engineer, let's say. So I've heard a couple of times that data is too complex. I'd say I will keep to my current skill set. Probably this could be an example of misconception that I like to break.
I love that, really. And Paolo, I would ask you here, what career development opportunities exist for data professionals who join EPAM Portugal?
Well, we have a career path well established at EPAM, as I see it. So everyone that comes to EPAM has the ability to and understand where to go and how to get there. And that is very important, as I see it, for as you can see yourself in 5 years. So if there is doubts in your mind and you're not 100% sure if you want to move into or continue into a technical path, even deviate a bit for a more managerial one, EPAM provides you that ability when you join EPAM to envision what could be your career path. And again, with the capability to give you materials, to provide you with materials to move forward and better understand or where you want to be within 5 years. So there's a lot of career development opportunities for data professionals here at EPAM. Again, I would, like Dennis was saying a little while ago, AI, prompt engineering, and machine learning is now coming with great hype and in strength for data. So I would see that as the future in data professionals.
Thank you so much for sharing these professional insights. However, I do have some personal questions as well. Dennis, I would like to ask you, as far as I know, you're a nice hockey player. And sometimes it is considered that being a great team player in sports also helps a lot to being a great team player in business. So basically, can you find any common ground or some connections between those two different realms, or maybe not that different?
Okay, I'd say that this is not fair to evaluate myself in that role. I really would prefer that others do that, but one of the evidences that team play is more successful than single play is that, based on my experience, working as a team, you can achieve more than just the sum of value produced by individual team members, like assumed sort of the synergy, a multiplier. When you work as a team of four, I'd say this is like an arbitrary estimation, you produce the value of five. And if you have four individuals, you will produce four. And if you can build the team, if you can make it focused on the common goal, you will first achieve more. Your value stream will be more stable. And if you will set up that for the future, you will have repeatable output, in most cases, very consistent output for a long period and would not depend on the capabilities of the individual. That doesn't mean that individuals are not valued or not required. You cannot build the team not taking into account individual specifics of each team member, but only showing the common goal, only sharing the same ideas and values, and only moving towards the same direction, you can achieve way more than just a group of individuals. This is what my personal experience allows me to see, both in sport and as you say, business. I prefer to say it, work.
I love this attitude. Thank you so much for sharing. And if we continue this metaphor as sports, I would ask you, Paolo, here, EPAM being a unique player on Portuguese IT market, how is it different? And what really sets EPAM as a unique player on the market?
Well, for now, I would say not setting because we are still setting EPAM here at Portugal market. But I would definitely highlight the engineering DNA that we have in EPAM. EPAM really strives to bring value to the client. We're not only just repeating what the client normally requests. We achieve working with the client in a way to bring value based on our past experience or in our experience that we have internally gained and the knowledge that we share with each other. So what would set us apart, I would say that tend to be a reliable partner, and our expertise in terms of cloud, again, I would highlight that to the Portuguese market, because EPAM, as Dennis mentioned, every project that we do on data is based on cloud. So the capability for us to work and have support from 60,000 people organization, and I had that experience previously on another project in EPAM, where the client asked or posed a question with a specific tool that we're not all knowledgeable of, but within a week's time, I was able to find someone at EPAM that was very knowledgeable of the tool, and we were able to come with the client and present what were the capabilities of the tool, what did we do in other clients with that tool, and how could the client use it in a better way possible to bring value to the company. So that's how I would say that EPAM is a distinctive player in the Portuguese market.
Thank you so much. So basically, I would ask you my last question here. Is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
Something like optimistic data is great. Do data.
And I would say that AI is great and is bringing a lot of value to the clients. But people tend to think that AI is like magic and you drop everything there and all the work is done. It takes some extensive amount of time to make the models on AI to really bring value and learn in a way that the insights are more value as time goes by. So I would say that AI is not magic, but it helps a lot, but you need time to do it.
I would agree with Paul and say one thing. As long as you see AI as a magic, this should be an indicator for you that you are not good engineer enough. Because if you can't understand how it works, what is under the hood, you would not be able to properly use it. I would not agree with the statement or name of prompt engineer. I would stick to skill of prompt engineering. And thanks, Paolo, for using specifically this term during your answers. Prompt engineering is a skill or ability. Prompt engineer is like a search engine engineer, but from the user perspective. If you do not know what to ask, if you do not, which is even more important, how to interpret the result of your communication with either search engine or AI tool, you will not be able to use all the value of that tool. And most probably, the result of your work will not be usable at all, because it would be just a set of separate answers that are hardly to be combined into something single, solid, and valuable. That's why I'd like to rephrase my last sentence. Data is cool. Do data. Learn prompt engineering. Keep being an engineer.
That's marvelous. I can make it a motto of our conversation. But still, I can't but ask here. Dennis, you mentioned about the people who, and Paolo as well, who see basically AI like magic. There are also a lot of people who see AI as a threat. So what would you say to them?
Pace of history is unstoppable. Nobody would prefer to make fabric in hands right now. But Luddites were thinking opposite. And Luddites are gone. don't be modern Buddhists.
I would definitely enforce that, because you see the past. In the past, we have examples of other technologies that we now see rather straightforward and standard, and we use it on a daily basis, and others consider it a threat. So AI, we should use it with knowledge. We should use it wisely. It's not magic. It will not get you the solution for everything that you do. It will help you to improve, and it will help you to, in a way, grow. I don't see the Schwarzenegger movie coming on where machines will take on humans, like Terminators. I would see as AI as a helping hand, but you have to know what you're dealing with. Otherwise, you will be responding or getting information that it's not accurate. And that is the main important that you need to tackle. Understand the response that AI gives you. So embrace it and use it wisely and properly.
Thank you so much for that. And it seems that we are here three AI optimists, right, gentlemen? And we really see AI as helping hand, as mentioned, or virtual assistant. Dear listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you have any questions or want to hear more on this topic or any other, feel free to reach out and ask your questions in the comment section. A huge thank you goes to my today's co-host for such an amazing conversation. And until next time, stay tech savvy. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.